Turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we'll begin reading and we'll only read one verse, and that's verse number 1. And I pray that tonight we'll understand this verse, how important it is to us, because it says this: know. There are some things we are to know. And as we look around us and we look to the Scripture, there are some things that we're to be aware of and to understand and to have knowledge of. The word know means to have knowledge. So look at verse number 1. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's a pretty emphatic statement. There's not a whole lot of room there for debate or discussion. Apostle Paul, as he writes to Timothy, the young preacher, he tells him that in the last days perilous times shall come. And you can read the writing of Paul, and you can read the different places that Paul wrote, and you'll find that Paul believed that he was in the last days. That Paul understood the framework of the Scripture, how that the last days are those times from Christ until He comes again for us. And Paul recognized that there were some things that were taking place that identified the days in which he lived as last days. And so he is writing to Timothy, this young preacher. He tells him to be a good soldier, to be a strong soldier, because there's a warfare, there's a battle that is raging. And he tells how that a servant is to conduct himself. Paul gives Timothy some instruction there, and especially as a man of God, as a preacher of the gospel. He tells him in the chapter just before, in verse 22, flee youthful lust, follow righteousness and faith, charity, patience with them. And then he says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. There's some things you just avoid. There's sometimes folks ask you questions, and the best thing to do is just pass it on, and because sometimes it is to just gender or to bring up strife. And he tells him here that he is to, as a servant of the Lord, he must be gentle and have patience and be able to teach and have meekness and instruction. And so Paul is dealing with Timothy on the personal side as a minister or as a preacher. And he tells him that those things must be in his life. But in having that, knowing those things, he says, but know also. Not only the good things and the things as a child of God that we are to be, but he says, but know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Why do we preach? Why do we stand and why do people proclaim the message of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is because that we're living in perilous times. It is because we're living in days that are very dangerous and things around us, and there are those, and then Paul goes on, and we'll not read those verses, but verse 2 on down through verse about number 7 or 8, Paul gives a lot of different types of things that we are to realize or show to us that perilous times are upon us. And so Paul gives Timothy the whole vision or the whole view of what he should be, and all that time of his meekness and his ability to teach and not to have strife, but to be gentle and have patience, but even in the midst of all that, be aware that we have and that we are living in dangerous, perilous times. This know, Paul tells to Timothy, know this for certain, the days in which we live are perilous. Now, if they were perilous times when Paul lived, well, they're very perilous today. We can just we can put that word in front of it, very. And very destructive and a lot of problems before us. And the perilous times are dangerous times. They're dangerous because there are, the Scripture says, because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. And so we see a relationship here between iniquity and the lack of love. We see a relationship between sin and growing cold and indifferent. And that's part of the dangerous times in which we live. Not only that, but it's dangerous because it's the last days. That means there's not many to follow. We're in the latter part of those. You see, the last days started with the Lord and at the coming of Christ and the resurrection, that area there, and it has continued on. So they were living in the last days, the first part of it, and I believe we're living in the last days the last part of it. But the Bible brings them all together under that phrase, in the last days. The Bible says there's going to be scoffers and those that would make fun and those that would mock over in the book of 2 Peter. He says in verse number 1 of chapter 3, the Scripture says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." So Peter now is saying that he's writing these things to stir our minds in accordance to what has been written by the prophets of God and by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, "I stir this up, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days." So Peter is dealing with the same subject as Paul in these last days. And Peter says to know that they're in the last days walking after their own lust and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Notice verse 5. "For this they willingly are ignorant." Here we find Peter says those that are scoffers and mockers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are willingly ignorant. That means that it's not that they don't have the truth. It's not that they have not heard the truth. It's not that they've never come in contact with truth, but they have heard all of it, they've seen all of it, and they are willingly ignorant, or they've willingly turned their back upon the truth of God's Word. And he says, "They willingly are ignorant of that by the Word of God, the heavens of old, and the earth standing out of the waters, and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same Word, are kept in store, reserved in the fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Don't be ignorant that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. There are those that are willingly ignorant of the gospel, and the Scripture tells us that this is going to be abounding in the last days. It's going to be prevalent in these last days in which we live. So, as Paul writes to Timothy, and as Peter writes his epistle, you'll find they are discussing the same subject matter, and they agree 100% on what what is said. The word "perilous times," the word "perilous" means dangerous. And it is dangerous because, well, just turn over to Isaiah 59, verse 14. We'll read that. Isaiah 59 and verse number 14. This will tell you why we're living in dangerous times. Isaiah 59, 14. "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off." Well, that describes our time right now. The Bible says judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. And why is that? "For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." So the prophet Isaiah says that judgment is a long way off, justice is afar off, because truth has fallen. And I believe we're living in that day when truth has fallen. Truth is no longer regarded as something sacred. It's no longer regarded as something that is unchangeable. I'll tell you what, the Scripture gives us verse after verse that there are some absolutes in this world in which we live. And what is truth today will be truth tomorrow. It's not changeable. As our God is not changeable, neither is His truth. And so when truth falls, and here Isaiah is giving a picture that truth is walking down the street and it has stumbled and fallen, and so therefore there can be no justice. If truth has fallen and there's no truth around, then there can be no judgment or justice, because it all relates to truth. And so therefore we are living in a dangerous time because truth has fallen. There's no standard that we can look at. There's nothing that is given to us as unchangeable, because we're living in a world that if it's convenient, then it's okay. If it's not convenient, then there's a real problem, and it's not okay. And so it's just movable back and forth like the seas and the waves roaring. And so these days in which we live, the Bible says here, are perilous times. I just want to give you some four or five things about in these times. Know this. I thought of the old song. I wish I'd have looked for the whole words of it. In times like these, we've heard that song. Some of you have sung that. In times like these, we need a what? Savior. I'll tell you what, whatever time of life that you're in, whatever predicament we find ourselves in those times we need a Savior. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, here tonight in our world in which we live, in these times we certainly need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need Him above all things. So in these times, number one, we must be sure that we have a Savior. We must be sure that we're in the faith. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking into the Scripture and examining ourselves. The Bible declares that we are to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. And so there's nothing wrong with doing that. Not because we doubt, not because that we are having problems with our salvation, but it instills in us the understanding that we did what God told us to do. We have trusted Him, and the Word of God declares that we are saved. And when the world comes at us and ridicules, when Satan comes to us and rejects and distorts the truth, we need to examine the Word of God and examine our relationship with God to know that we are saved and know that we're born again, because we're living in dangerous times. We're living in perilous, dangerous, terrible times. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? The Scripture says if the Lord Jesus Christ is not in our heart, then we are reprobate, or we're lost. And so Paul told the people of Corinth, and I think he had good reason to tell the people of Corinth to examine themselves. Their lives, many of them, was very, very worldly. And the church was very worldly, and they had a lot of problems within the church, and immoral problems and terrible things going on within the church of Corinth. And so Paul declares to these folks there in 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. I believe it's scriptural sometimes just to sit down and make sure you're saved. Not that you're doubting, but just let the Lord confirm it once again that you're going to heaven. I'll tell you what, I don't want to go through this world not knowing where I'm going. I'm glad that I do know. I'm glad I have that assurance. But the Scripture tells us that in these dark days, and I'll tell you what, the depression upon the mind is so real, and the oppression. Now, a child of God cannot be possessed by a demon, but we can certainly be oppressed by him. We can be bothered by the demons, and we can be bothered by Satan. We can be bothered by the influence of the wicked one. And if we're not careful, we'll get to the point of, well, am I really? Did I really? Is it really? That's why Scripture says examine it. Examine yourself. See whether you be in the faith. See what the Bible says. Do what the Scripture, and make sure that you're a child of God, because nothing is worth dying without the Lord. Nothing is worth not having the assurance of our personal salvation, because we're living in dangerous days. We're living in days that I believe the Lord could come at any time. And so therefore we need to make sure, we need to have assurance in our heart. And I guess the best way to say it is that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know you're saved. No doubts. Don't live in the plains of despair and doubt. Know what Christ said. Know what the Bible says. Know what you did with the Lord. And then when the devil comes along and tries to accuse you, and sometimes, and don't get me wrong on this, sometimes the accusation of the devil, he tells the truth on us. He'll say, oh, you're not living for God like you ought to. That may be truthful sometimes. But that does not relinquish our relationship with the Lord. It may have a problem with our fellowship, but it does not bother our relationship because we're a child of God. And we believe, and the Bible teaches, that we have a relationship that can never be severed. But the devil, he'll come at us and he'll, the Scripture says he shoots fiery darts. Those are terms that explain to us that he's after us. And those darts come whirling at us. And even John the Baptist at one time, he said, Lord, are you really who you said you were? And so we find that the devil puts doubts with us. He puts a working upon our heart because we're living in these last moments, and the devil knows he can never get our soul, but he can get our lives, and he can tear us down as our testimony, and we not be effective for the Lord. So make sure that we're in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, because in these days, in times like these, we need a Savior. Oh, you found the song? You got the song back there? Right, let me have it. Let me just read it. She's back there waving that song. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Well, that's what the song says. Not only does the song say that, the book says that. Be very sure your anchor holds. What's the next part? And grips the solid rock. That rock is Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's not a rock out here in the field, but our rock, as Paul tells the people of Corinth once again, and I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that rock that followed, that rock that they got water out of there in the wilderness, that rock followed them through the wilderness. And Paul says that rock was Jesus. So be very sure that your anchor holds. The rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. The next verse says, in times like these, you need a Bible. Well, bless the Lord, we have to have our Bible. In times like these, be not idle. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips that solid rock. In times like these, the writer here, the lady that wrote this, she changes now to the things we need, and the third verse to the things we have. In times like these, I have a Savior. Thank God tonight we have a Savior. And I have an anchor. I'm very sure. She wrote from an experience with the Lord. I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Can you say tonight your anchor holds and it grips and holds on to, and when the storm rages, the ship may be tossed, but it's not thrown away and not sunk. It's because we have an anchor. It's because we have a Savior. And we need to make sure that we are in the faith. In times like these, we need to be aware of many things around us. Not only should we be aware, but we need to beware. There's things you need to be careful of. This world has nothing to offer us that's good. The devil may come to you and his offer may look good, but it's not good. For you see, the Scripture says that he even changes himself into an angel of light. But he's an angel of deception. It may look good, but in the end, it will bite us and it will tear us down. And the Scripture says, talking about the alcohol, at the end it'll bite like a serpent. And everything the devil puts before us that may look good and may look wholesome, at the end, and when it's all culminated, it will bring about a terrible result. So we need to beware of things. The Scripture says in Philippians, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. word dog there just talks about those that hate the Lord and bring reproach to the name of Christ. And Paul says, beware of them. That means to be alert, be knowledgeable. This know also. So in these last days, beware of those things. In these last days, we must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What's the evil day? The last days. And take all the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. And that stand there is a stand poised, ready to use the armor. The armor, for the most part, is protective. But there's one part of it that is a part of the armor that is it's not defensive, it's offensive. The sword of the Spirit. You see, there are times that we, as we stand, we must use our sword. And so the Scripture says that in these evil days we are to stand. And having done all, stand. Wherefore, having your loins girded about with truth, your legs, the strength of the standing is in your legs, and the only way you're going to stand is according to truth. We have to be careful now, because what did I say a while ago? Truth has fallen. Truth has gone by the wayside in many places. Truth has fallen in the streets. The example is given that it is there at one time standing strong and true, and the scales of justice were balanced correctly, but now truth has fallen, and so therefore there's no judgment that's right, and there's no justice, but the Lord says to stand in truth. And having our legs strengthened by the truth of God's Word. When do we do that? In these days. We don't have any other days. We don't have yesterday. It's all over. We don't live in days gone by. So as we preach Sunday morning, sometimes we wish we had the good old days. We don't have them anymore. And so there, what am I to do now? Stand. What am I to do tomorrow when it gets worse? And by the way, it'll be worse tomorrow than it is today. 10 years down the road, it'll be worse than now. When I was a child growing up, I'd hear preachers say, in 15 years, no telling what it'd be like. Well, we've gone past that a long time, and no telling what it is like. And 10 years down the road, if the Lord doesn't come, I wonder what it'd be like. I fear for our children. I fear for those, because we've got to make sure that truth doesn't fall. And so that's why the Scripture says, gird your loins of your legs in truth and fight the good fight of faith. Be steadfast. The Bible says, Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. In these last days, in these perilous times, in these dangerous times, don't be deceived. There's many, many deceptive things going on. The Scripture very clearly tells us that deception is everywhere, and tells us that we are to follow after the righteousness of the Lord, and to know that He is truthful, and that He will give to us the things that we need, and we are to not be deceived, because it all comes back to what? Truth. If we know the truth, then it'll help us not be deceived. Now, I'm going to say something tonight that very few people know about, and when it happened, nobody knew it when it happened. I'm talking about deception and truth and false. A few weeks ago, Brother Don took our offering up here to the bank, and as the lady was counting it, she popped one out and she said, "This is counterfeit." And he said, "Oh, really? I mean, what would you say if the banker said that money there is counterfeit?" And she said, I know it is." How did she know that? Because she'd been trained to recognize the real thing. You don't study false to identify false. You study truth to identify falsehood. Now, praise the Lord, it wasn't a $100 bill. And it wasn't two or three of them wadded up together. It was just a $5 bill. Why in the world would somebody take time to do a $5 bill? But I guess if you had enough of them, you'd be all right. And so whoever put it in the plate, no. You know why we don't know? You know why we? I may have done that. You could have done. Anybody could do that. But you know why? Because we're not trained in that area. But I'll tell you what. You get somebody behind this pulpit saying something wrong, I believe we'd recognize the counterfeit. Why? Well, I hope we've been trained in some right areas doctrinally, and so we know what to look for. We know what to listen for. The people at the bank, they know to. Every time you give them a $100 bill, they take out that little pen, I shiver. I know I haven't printed it, but somebody else might have, and I've got it. But they take out that little pen, they put a mark on it. It used to be just hundreds. Then I noticed they're doing it on 50s. And then I noticed they're doing it on 20s. And I noticed somebody the other day they did it on a 10. If I told them my story, they'd start doing the 5s. But the Bible says here, be not deceived. We are easily deceived on things that we're not aware of. Anything you want to think of, if we don't have knowledge of it, we can be deceived. But if we have knowledge of truth that has girded our loins and helped us to stand for righteousness and holiness, if we have that, then we ought not to be deceived by ungodliness. We ought not to be deceived by things that are wrong scripturally and spiritually, because we've been trained in that area. And so in these last days, we better train ourselves, because the deception is out there. Everywhere. My goodness. All you got to do is perk up a conversation with somebody and you'll hear 15 different things that's off the wall. It's almost as if people had no idea what scriptures were anymore. You know why? They don't. You know why? Because truth has fallen. And I thought about working up a message on, instead of truth being fallen in the streets, I'm afraid truth has fallen in our churches. But regardless, be not deceived, because God's not mocked. In times like these, we need to keep a good testimony. People know that we're saved. Now, I don't think we have to wear a sign. Here's my sign, I'm saved, that kind of stuff. But if people know you and people watch you, and if people don't know you and watch you, they ought to know you're saved. They ought to know you have some morality, some things about you that's right. Just because of the Word of God that abides in our heart. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope as in within you with meekness and fear. Somebody comes to you and say, "How do you tell me about why you think you're going to heaven?" Well, that'll be easy for us to say. Now, I'm not talking about using scripture, and that's well and good. But I'm talking about what's going on in our heart. The Bible says here that we are to be able to give an answer to every man or every person that asks us a reason of the hope that's within us. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Where do I get that? Get out of the book. Out of the scripture. And so in these days in which we live, and by the way, there's more and more people in our country that are not even associated with things of the Lord. It's not like it was in the 50s and 60s, 70s, 80s, but it's made a vast change in the last 15 years. We have a generation of people that know not the Lord. The influence of the Bible is no longer in our public education. It's not in our grade schools. It's not in our middle schools. It's not in our high schools. And it's definitely not in our colleges. And so we need to understand that we're seeing the culmination of a generation that hasn't had any knowledge. Used to, you'd go knock on a door and ask somebody if they're saved. They knew what you meant. But you can go to some places now and they have no idea what you're talking about. I'm talking about Madisonville, Kentucky. They have no idea terminology. And then the sad part about it, a lot of them go to church. And so in these days in which we live, we need to have our testimony so people can know that we're saved. And then in times like these, thank the Lord, need to realize He's coming. I believe He's coming very soon. Be ye also ready for such an hour as you think not. The Lord cometh. I like that word, the Lord cometh. That's an emphatic, definite statement. He cometh. And other places tells us He's coming with 10,000s of His saints. But He's coming. And so in these days that are dark, in these days when the truth is no longer prevalent, most people don't even know what truth is. That's been going on a while, but it's more prevalent today than before. Pilate said, what is truth? Some people say, well, truth's what I make it. Truth's not what you make it. Truth is what it is. Well, truth is relevant. No, it's not relevant. Truth is subjective. No, it's not subjective. Truth is absolute. Our whole universe is, everything is absolute. It's not going to... Do we ever wonder that the sun's going to come up in the morning? No. Oh, we may not see it. Clouds may cover it, but it's there. Brother Nitty and I was out last night looking at the stars. We've got a telescope, and you can chart. You can look at a chart, and it'll tell you exactly where it's going to be on a given day of a given month, and tells you right where it is in the sky. Wonder how that just happened? No. It's all according to truth. And it's not subjective. It is set, firm, steadfast. In times like these, we better know where we stand. Because the world says, you're an idiot. Society says, you're out of touch. Some religion will say, you're lost in the archaic age. I'll tell you what, the Word of God does not go out of date. It does not go out of relevance. It does not go out of existence. And it's just as real today as it was when the Lord penned it down. And if the Lord doesn't come for another 10,000 years, this will still be true. Because it's His Word. I don't think we'll have to worry about 10,000 years. I don't think we'll have to worry about 10 years. We may not have to worry about 10 minutes. For Jesus is coming. In times like these, we need a Savior. We need a Bible. In times like these, we need the Lord. Let's stand together tonight.